Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician, soon to be the holographic gypsy physician. My special guest tonight is Carl Healthy, who has written a book called Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. So welcome to the show, Carl.
Thank you, Dr. Valerie. I'm happy to be with you tonight.
Yeah, you sound wonderful. You talk about your age and everything and all the things that you do, and shoot, you're more active than I am, you know.
Well, when you're type A, you know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, the most exercise I've gotten in the last year has been what I call long-distance weightlifting.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, it's where I'm packing and moving boxes constantly.
Oh, I went through that, and I ended up with a backache every night.
Uh-huh, yeah, well, I've had a backache for about a year now, and it gets to be a little bit much.
It's not a pleasant experience, is it?
No, it isn't. I'll be glad when all this moving stuff is done. So, listeners, you might want to take out your pen and write a few things down here, because Carl has got a really amazing book. First, I'd like you to talk about your background, Carl. Let's give people a little bio of you, and then I'll tell people what my synopsis of your book is, and then we'll go into the whole question and answer thing.
Okay. I'm a nurse. I have a doctorate in public health. Most of my career has been spent in working with students and with patients to help them improve their health and to stay healthy and well. I have been in education, I've been a researcher, I've been an author, and a practitioner. And I think one of the best parts of my career was when I had a grant for almost $800,000.
Wow.
And established and directed a health center for homeless and low-income individuals and families. And we reached a population who had never had health care before and were most appreciative of all the health care they received, and told us many times that we had saved their lives. We found people who had hypertension, diabetes, cancer, all kinds of chronic illnesses, and had never had any care for it. And so it was a very rewarding experience.
Wow. That's a lot of work, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's one of the big problems, you know, as a naturopathic physician. One of the problems that we all discussed when I was in medical school was, how do you help the homeless? You know, it's going to take a lot of money from somebody else. And then how do we do that in a natural way? Because so much of what we need to do for these people is give them the types of food they haven't been eating, give them the supplements that they can't afford, and you know, I think that the only way to do it is to have some kind of a subsidized program.
Right. I had gotten funding from the Division of Nursing, and I had written a follow-up grant. I had funding for 3 years, and I had written a follow-up grant, and I had found a way that I would be self-sufficient in 2 years.
Wow.
By using my practitioner to work part-time doing school physicals and doing different things that would bring in money, and then part-time we would be providing services for the homeless. And I had also built into the grant using herbs and using acupuncture and a variety of alternative things, and I had lined up physicians and all that would work with me on this. And unfortunately, the year that it was submitted was the year that Congress decided there was a shortage of nurses. So even though I was the second highest priority score, there were no service grant funded, so I didn't get funding for it.
Oh, man.
So we had to ease out gracefully and turn all of our clients over to a free clinic, which was the only other resource available, but they didn't especially like going there.
Well, yeah.
Because it was there was no full-time person. It was all volunteer physicians and all.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my clinic, I had a nurse practitioner and occasionally a physician that provided the care, but they knew they were always going to see the same person.
Yeah, and that makes such a huge difference, too.
Yes, it does.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later, how the you know, social interactions really play a large part in helping you to be healthy.
Right.
So I'm looking at your bio here that you sent, and so you've published 6 books.
Mm-hmm.
And 55 articles and 55 research papers. You have been just really busy. And Professor Emeritus of Nursing at Old Dominion University.
Mm-hmm.
Distinguished Career in Public Health Award. Whew!
And I still keep busy. You know, I've taken on all kinds of community projects, and I continue my writing, and I'm working on the follow-up book for this one, and I'm doing some articles and doing some presentations. And, you know, when you're healthy, you can do these things.
Yes.
And I think your health makes all the difference in the world. That's why I really want to help people, you know, improve their health. Because I saw my mother, who was diabetic, and she carried her insulin with her when she traveled.
Mm-hmm.
She was afraid to put it in her luggage in case the luggage got lost.
Mm-hmm.
So she carried her insulin, and to me it would be painful to have to, you know, give yourself insulin every day.
Yeah.
The expense, the inconvenience, all of those things, and, you know, fortunately I don't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah, I've had to take people off of the insulin. I only have one patient who's ever had to stay on insulin.
That's
and every
great.
Other person I've gotten off the insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady had a host of other problems. But you know, we got her insulin down from an outrageous amount down to a reasonable level. And it was all just through doing holistic things, you know, just changing the diet, getting her some exercise,
mm-hmm.
Taking care of the long-standing problems. She had a mouthful of broken, rotting teeth, and I said, I can't do anything with you till you take care of those.
Right, right.
And so I sent her away. She said, I can't afford you and the dentist. I said, go to the dentist and come back and see me.
I wish there were more physicians like you that would, you know, use some of the holistic alternative things.
Yeah,
you know,
I wish so
because
too.
My belief is use the least caustic thing you can
mm-hmm.
and still, you know, treat the condition.
Yeah, see, you would fit right in with naturopaths, you know, because our whole thing is, you know, first to do no harm and then
mm-hmm.
and then really do things as naturally as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's all kinds of levels between nothing and everything.
Right.
And, you know, I was an ER nurse and ICU, and so I've seen the other end for like 30 years.
Right.
And, you know, I know exactly what happens on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen the weeds, beads, and seeds crowd on my end who are pretty much ineffective, and they think they know everything.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then I've seen the guys at the other end that are all into chemicals and surgery, and they think they know everything. And,
right.
And it's like, no, you have to take from both.
Well,
really
I came back from New York a couple weeks ago. I went mm-hmm. to celebrate my 75th birthday.
Oh, happy
and
birthday.
The ragweed was out. Now, the ragweed has never bothered me before, but I think because we haven't had much rain up and down the East Coast, it's a lot worse this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back with severe congestion, and I tried Benadryl, and that didn't do anything. So I went to the doctor, and he put me on prednisone and on antibiotics. And I had pneumonia 4 years ago, and I was afraid, you know, that I might end up with that again.
Well, yeah.
And so I did take those, but then, you know, it cleared up, and I was fine. But then I started wheezing about 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used a tincture of ragweed,
mm-hmm.
which Edgar Cayce had recommended in his readings. And it's made out of ragweed, but you know, there's no problem. And so I take a teaspoon in the morning and a teaspoon at night and a half glass of water. and it cleared up the same day. And I've had no problem since. So I know now that if I start wheezing or if I, you know, during ragweed season, I can just take this and it will clear up. And that's a lot better than prednisone and antibiotics.
Well, the other thing you can do, too, is nettles is the, you know, the standard thing that we use, urtica dioica. And then also NAC, N-acetylcysteine, for people that have lung problems.
NAC?
Yeah, NAC. And and I've actually gotten people to heal bronchiectasis, which they think is impossible to heal, and pulmonary nodules. I had a lady who had Mycobacterium avian, and for the listeners, that's a type of tuberculosis that's extremely hard to treat and normally is only something that someone gets if they're immunocompromised, so an AIDS patient, somebody on chemo, you know, something like that. Nobody knows how this woman got it. And she ended up having a third of her right lung taking out because of it. And she'd been on treatment, antibiotics and steroids and everything for 14 years. And she came across me and said, can you help me? I said, sure. And so I put her on this regimen. And within 2 months, when she went back for her next CAT scan, the lung nodules were gone. Bronchiectasis was gone. And they kept re-CAT scanning her about every 2 or 3 months because they couldn't believe it. And still, her pulmonologist would not talk to her about natural medicine.
Right.
You know, just blinders on. It was just so aggravating.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
got her cured of everything that they said was absolutely incurable. And it was simple, but she had to do the work.
Right.
You know, it's not something that, I mean, I figured out what she needed, but she had to go do all the work. And that's the main thing. And one thing I noticed about your book, and I think, listeners, you would do well to pick up a copy of this book. Again, it's Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. By Carl O. Helvey. Am I saying your last name right, Carl?
Yeah.
Okay. And Dr. Helvey. And what I liked about your book is that you have got a ton of checklists in here. And the checklists span not just, you know, the physical things, but they go through the mental, emotional, the spiritual, the societal. You know, there's all kinds of things in here. And so the way I look at this book is, this is a really good book for the general public who are pretty much what I would call doofuses about health. You know, they have no clue. They have relied solely upon the MDs, you know, for so many years, and who pretty much, you know, don't know a whole lot about natural stuff. They've not taught that. And you know, so they've put all their eggs in one basket, and when that basket no longer works, then they're in trouble. So what I found with your book is, with all these nice little checklists and health assessments and things like that that you have in here, you're giving the people who have no clue about how to be healthy an indication, first of all, how they're doing, if they are healthy or not, you know, and how bad is it. And then you're telling them what to do. You know, okay, here's now what you do about it, you know, and you add this to your life and this and this and this. And I found that fascinating because I'm always looking for the elegant way for people to get what they need. And, you know, my thing tends to be more towards the people that are already interested in natural health and they've been taking care of themselves for most of their lives. And so I haven't really considered the other end of the spectrum. And I think that you fill that gap really nicely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because there are those people out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, this is a very simple thing that I was just amazed because I don't think anybody else has ever done it quite this way. And so I'm really happy about the way that you put this together. And, you know, you talk about the building positive relationships and mental and spiritual aspects in the environment and you know, how to improve. And you give them all these little hints, and I think it's quite an easy read for most people. And, you know, you talk about sleep, you talk about habits, I mean, all these things, and plus the nutritional thing. So I think if anybody wants to find out how to go into old age gracefully, and, you know, most of us baby boomers are going, I'm not going into it gracefully. I'm going in kicking and screaming all the way. Because we're not supposed to get old.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, if you look at the way the physical body is put together, it is never supposed to age and die. This was meant to be a self-renewing organism.
Right, right.
So then why do we age and die? And I can tell you, you know, through my own explorations, it wasn't until I was about, well, I think it was early 40s, when I started doing cleansing and fasting and changed my life completely. So I think that, you know, too much of this information is hidden, and you have to really work at it to get it. So I'm,
right.
I'm really happy about your book.
Well, you I appreciate that because when I first started out with the book, I was told that there was no no demand for a broad-based book, that it was too broad-based. Mm. And I said, but health is not a single-focused thing.
Right.
There are multiple factors. If you accept the man, agent, and environment triad as leading up to disease process or health process, there's multiple factors that lead to health and illness. So you need to look at more than a single, you know, focus if you're looking at health. So
I totally agree.
I appreciate that because, as I say, I had people say, you know, no, there's no demand for something like this.
Well, they just weren't looking at the whole picture, but that's a problem, you know, with allopathic medicine. And listeners, that's mm-hmm. an MD mm-hmm. Is an allopath, and a DO is an osteopath, and an NMD, which is what I am, is a naturopath,
mm-hmm.
and OMD is Oriental Medical Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference in the philosophies with each branch of medicine. And nurses are the ones who tend to have you know, less prejudice about that, and to look around at whatever's going to work, because we are in the front line. We see the patient the whole time we're on shift, day after day after day. We deal with that person. We see their moods. We know their fears. We see the family dynamics. You know, we see all of those
right.
things. And I
mm-hmm.
think that that's what really uniquely qualifies a nurse, to really figure out what's best for that patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never leave what's best for the patient in most doctors' hands, because they have no clue.
Right, right.
And you know, and I've been around the world, you know, long enough to see that in not just in the allopathic world, but in my world too.
Right, right.
You know, so I think you have to step back and you have to look at the whole picture. And that's what I appreciate about your book, the way that you brought it together. I think that anybody that has been listening to my program for a while knows that I'm very much interested in kind of the what I call a shotgun approach, you know, throw
mm-hmm.
everything at it that you know is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, with my own mother, who's now 87,
mm-hmm.
when she came to live with me several years ago, we brought her in. My late husband was still alive then, and we went up to visit, you know, and I said, oh, boy, something's wrong. You know, my brother and sister weren't noticing what was going on, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was really fading. So we moved her in, and it took months of proper nutrition and proper supplementation and exercise and all this other kind of stuff to get her to where the brain would even work.
Right.
You know, until that point, it was like talking to, it was worse than talking to a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Worse. You know, very, very frustrating. And
right.
she had no clue that her mind was gone.
Oh, she didn't.
No, and, you know, but it wasn't bad enough that she would have been institutionalized,
mm-hmm.
but she certainly couldn't take care of herself very well.
Right.
And now she's independent. She takes care of me, you know. She's always asking me if I want something to eat. I'm like, Mom, look at me. Do I look like I don't know how to feed myself? But, you know, the whole thing with that was getting her on the right fatty acids and getting her off of all the things that are allergens. You know, she's a type O blood type, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, death for type O is when you eat wheat and potatoes and you know, pretty much any kind of cereal grain other than rice and milk. And, you know, I mean, there's a certain specific set of things that cause allergies at the blood level, and, you know, it kind of decreases the efficiency of your blood. And so when I got her off of all those things and got her on the fatty acids, you know, the really high-dose pharmaceutical-grade fish oils
mm-hmm.
that have all the poisons taken out and, you know, did some cleansing with her and a few other things, well, now she's fine. You know, she's 87. She's still walking around, and, you know, she takes herself off to the grocery store, and she can have decent conversations with you. And she complains about her memory, but I think, you know, at 87, she's not doing so bad.
Right, and I think it's wonderful she can get up and get around.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of things, too, that people don't realize. Sometimes we think we're helping. We're making ourselves feel better when we do everything for someone else.
Right, right.
But when we get into the aging thing, if you stop doing the things that
right.
you've been used to doing,
definitely, right.
then the likelihood that you're going to pick them up and do them again is pretty slim.
Well, my neighbor, I live in a golf cart community by the Chesapeake Bay,
mm-hmm.
and everyone has a golf cart except me, and I think it's partially a status symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighbor offered to give me one. And I said, well, thank you very much. But I said, you know, my neighbors do a disservice to their children by carting them around in golf carts up and down the beach. The children should be walking.
Yes.
I said obesity is fast becoming the number one preventable disease in this country, overtaking cigarettes. So I said, as long as I can walk, I will walk. And if you don't use it, you lose it. So I said, I don't want to use my walking ability.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk, and all my neighbors go in their golf carts.
Yeah, and you will lose it quick, too. I mean, I've had things happen to me where the inability to do something for a month and a half is enough to pretty much stop you in your tracks, and you have to start all over again.
Well, I had a back injury, and, you know, that was the same way. You know, you stop exercising for a couple months, and you don't have much muscle tone left, it doesn't seem like. It takes a long time to get back to it. Even near where you were before.
Oh, absolutely. Same thing with your lungs. You know, I caught pneumonia when I was a teenager, and I was in the band. And so I played the clarinet and the oboe, and I was actually a pianist, but, you know, I took up the clarinet so I could be in the band because I thought that would be fun. And then I took up the oboe because it was fun. And I caught pneumonia in the middle of all that, and I could not sustain a breath. You know, and even when they declared me to be completely free of pneumonia and, you know, fully recovered, it took me months to be able to build up the lung capacity to play a wind instrument again.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of things people don't realize. And, like, you know, everybody looks at me kind of funny sometimes, my mom's little old friends, you know, because I'm not doing things. I'm not, you know, if something's real heavy, I'll pick it up for her.
Right.
But most of the time, I just let her do everything. I let her, you know, walk, take the garbage up to the place and go get the mail and go down to the store and all this kind of stuff because I know how important it is to keep them moving.
Right. I remember when I was at Bellevue in New York City and I did private duty for patients. They needed someone, and I think it was at James Ewing, a cancer hospital, and I went, and it was a patient that was able to feed himself and all, but his family thought that he should be waited on hand and foot. Well, you know, I knew that wasn't the best thing for him, and so his wife told me, well, you need to be feeding him, and I said, no, he needs to continue doing this himself as long as he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, we're paying you for it. I said, well, you know, I said, my philosophy is he needs to feed himself as long as he can. But if you insist that you're paying me, I will not do something to hurt your husband. So I will leave before I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then she decided that maybe I knew what I was talking about. But I've always felt that, you know, people should do what they can do as long as they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you help them. But like you, I believe that if you don't use it, you're going to lose it, and you need to do things for yourself as long as you can.
Oh, absolutely, and I've seen it time and time again. And I did home health nursing for a while after I hurt my back and spent a couple years laying flat on my back looking at the ceiling and wondering what I was going to do with life, and I couldn't do ER or ICU anymore because of that, so I went into home health. And I cannot tell you how many times I went into somebody's house and they were on 20 medications, which, by the way, unless somebody is a transplant patient, 20 medications shows you the doctor doesn't know what the hell is going on.
Right, right.
And, you know, they're giving you a medication to take care of the symptoms that another medication gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got very frustrated with that. And I saw these people that were walking death. And I would ask for a dietitian. They'd send one in, and the one that flabbergasted me was I came in, and what it said on there was, feed the patient plenty of rich soups and gravies. And I went, oh, my God, I hit the roof. I said, this is a guy that has serious, serious heart disease, and you're going to feed him rich soups and gravies? Oh, my God. I mean, I went off on him about that, and it was so funny because I got called on the carpet a couple times for telling people that they needed to eat live food.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, all the nurses were telling the patients they needed to eat raw food and something that was alive and things like that. It was so funny. And I had one guy that came in, I came into his house, and he wasn't healing. So they had a physical therapist going in about every other day and giving him treatments, electrical treatments, to try to stimulate growth. And he had, you know, sores down to the bones, skinny as anything, couldn't eat anything. I walked in and I said, you look like death warmed over. And he said, well, I feel like death warmed over. And so I went in and talked to his wife. I said, listen, this is not going to work. You know, you need to go get a juicer and do this. And she said, well, he can't keep anything down. I said, doesn't matter. Juice, give it to him, have him chew it and spit it out into a cup and just keep doing that. And in about 3 days, he'll be able to eat. So she did that. He was able to eat. He healed up like in a week after that.
Right.
And, you know, of course, I got in trouble because he was off service then, so.
Right.
So this stuff is vitally important, and I'm so glad you addressed that in your book. So let me ask you, how can our listeners remain healthy and independent throughout life?
Well, the research shows that if you eat an adequate diet, you exercise, you have a healthy environment, you have positive relationships, you have a spiritual life, you're optimistic and positive. These are some of the things that will keep you active and healthy throughout your life. And I'll say that these are things that I have used, and I started using a holistic approach in my own life 31 years ago when I was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm.
And my doctor told me I'd be dead in 6 months. And I refused surgery. I refused chemotherapy. So I did all the alternative things. I did. I took Laetril, which was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a diet that was primarily raw fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
I ate very little protein. I did affirmations. I did visualization. I did meditation. I was on church prayer lists. I called Olga Worrell, a psychic healer in Baltimore, Maryland, and was on her list. I did all the alternative things. And I went back to my doctor every 3 months, but I didn't tell him I was doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years, he said he guessed he'd made the wrong diagnosis. And so I never did tell him. And I never told him that it was his sister that was helping me through this whole process.
Oh, man. Yeah, you didn't want to tell him that.
No. And I located her recently. She's living in near Asheville, North Carolina, and we had a long, long talk on the phone, and I thanked her again for all of her help. She had helped me locate a physician in Northern Virginia that would treat with Laetril that had been working with the National Institute of Health with cancer patients and had had much success with Laetril, but they were shut down. You know why?
Yeah, of course, because it works.
Yep, right, and it's a cheap cure, and the drug companies and some of the traditional physicians don't make a lot of money, and so they didn't want this out there.
Well, same thing happens with the whole, you know, the HCG thing that's so popular now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the FDA is going around and shutting down MDs that are prescribing this stuff because it's not approved for weight loss, and yet they've been using it for over 70 years in Europe quite successfully for weight loss, has no side effects other than if you have gallbladder problems. But, you know, they know that it works. It resets the hypothalamus so that then, you know, you don't gain weight from the foods that they have been poisoning us with.
Right.
And so, of course, they don't want that because you've got Big Pharma, the FDA, the food industry, and the AMA all in cahoots to make tons of money off of our misery.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, and look at all the cancer cures that the Big Pharma has bought up and put on the shelf. Things that one dose would cure the cancer.
Right.
This has been around for a long time, and if they can't buy it from the people who found it, they kill them. I mean, this is not okay. People need to start standing up and going, hey, no more of this stuff, you know?
Well, you know, the other thing that I think is important is when I took my Laetril and my diet and my meditation prayer and all, I could continue functioning. I wasn't completely debilitated.
Exactly.
And so many of the chemotherapy patients that I have seen, they are so debilitated. They're nauseated. They vomit. They just, you know, they can't function. And I was able to function. And in so many of the things that you use now, I mean, the natural things, you can continue functioning.
Sure.
It's sad that people are motivated by money and power, and not by helping other people. That it bothers me very much.
Well, that's all about to change. There's a lot of us that are working on conscious change, you know, and we have to be the change. We have to realize that we are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And even the ones that we think of as bad guys, they're part of us too.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm very much into the whole quantum state, you know, and about how we actually use what we're finding out about quantum physics, quantum mechanics, and plasma physics to actually move us into heaven, you know, to move us into that state that has been promised to us and that we know could exist if we could just get rid of the greed and the judgment and the prejudice that's so rampant on the planet.
Right, right.
And, you know, then what we have to do, though, is we have to become that change. And we have to see nothing but that change, you know, and to really, you know, do what's in front of us and, you know, stop the kinds of things that we can stop. And, you know, I just see so many things. You know, I live in woo-woo land here in Sedona.
Right.
And so I see a lot of things. I see a lot of people that are not walking the talk, as we say, and are, you know, they're espousing one thing, but they just can't seem to bring it into their lives. And the whole reason is because they found a little niche and they're making money at it.
Right, right.
And they want to stay in that little niche, and they don't realize that they're not moving forward. And they're actually creating more problems for themselves and for everyone else. Whereas
right.
if they would just let go and just move, man, we could move this planet in an instant.
Right, right.
If we could just get that critical mass of people to, you know, to be there and to stop all this nonsense that's been going on. It's like the whole, you know, the oil industry, too. Same thing.
Right, right, definitely.
You
right.
know, I mean, there are so many things out there now. You can run a car on water, and it doesn't cost a fortune to convert your car to do that.
Right.
And all the energy that you need, you could. I think they did this in Australia, where they went something like 3,000 miles on a quart of water.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all this stuff out there. We need to start waking up and going, hey, you know, that's what I want. And same thing with our health. My God, I see people that are just horribly debilitated. And you know, I would never give chemo to people. And whether I worked in the hospital or in home health, I steadfastly mm-hmm. refused to start
right.
anybody on chemo.
Right.
And they would say, why? And I'd say, because it's the dash for cash. It's murder for money. Because they know, and they knew for at least, gosh, the last 30 years, maybe 40 years.
Right.
They have known that chemotherapy will give you secondary and tertiary cancers. So why would you want to take something that
well,
might cure what you've got now?
Well, I had a friend call me about 6 months ago, and I picked up the phone, and he said hello, and I said, Roger, I'm just on my way out. I said, I can't talk very long, and he said, well, I just wanted to tell you I have melanoma. I said, and? He said, stage 3. I said, and? He said, the doctor told me I'm dying. I said, the doctor can't tell you you're dying. That's yeah. not a medical diagnosis. That's a God diagnosis. Only God can determine whether you're dying or not. I said, but if you want to die, you continue going to your doctor, and you continue letting him tell you you're dying, and you will die. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But I said, if you don't want to die, I said, I will help you with some of the things that I used,
mm-hmm.
and I will be here for you. But I said, it's your decision. And so about 3 months, and he said, well, I just want to withdraw. I don't want to talk to anyone. And I said, okay. He said, well, I'll call you when I'm ready to talk to you. So he called, and he wanted to come by, and so I said, fine. Well, he was so debilitated, he could hardly get up the stairs.
Mm.
And I said to him, I guess you made your decision. I said, but if you wanted to die, why would you put yourself through this? So I said, at some level, you didn't want to die, or you would not have put yourself through it.
Mm-hmm.
But he did die. But you're right, there are so many cures for cancer. Huxley was one of them. It was back in the 30s and 40s, and he used, you know, red clover and burdock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just cleaned the blood.
Right. And
those are just blood cleansers, you know.
And, you know, even in court, they appointed, I think it was like 10 physicians to study all the cases,
mm-hmm.
and they all, in the end, said that he was using higher standards than what the traditional medicine was
mm-hmm.
and having higher cure rates. But he was so harassed by the government that he had to move to Mexico.
Yeah, and that happens to too many of our good healers because they just try to run them out because now you're talking about, you know, stopping the flow of cash from the pocket of the public into the pockets of the fat cats, you know, at the head of all these giant corporations and the people that own the world.
Right,
and
right.
so, you know, it becomes very difficult. I think the only way we can get past that kind of stuff is for everybody to just go, you know what, I've had enough. You know, I'm not playing this game this way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's more of us than there are them. So if we all stand up and go, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We demand that you give us the cures. And just, you know, you vote with your money, which, by the way, you know, most people don't have a lot of right now, and,
right,
and it's
right.
going to get worse. And, you know, I mean, that's all part of the plan. They're trying to create this slave state and, you know,
right.
make everybody do everything that they want. And the problem is so many people are asleep. Now, the BBS listeners are not asleep.
Right,
these
right.
guys that tune in, I mean, they are really up on what's going on in the world. They know the truth. And, you know, they're doing everything that they can in their own lives to take care of that. Our BBS listeners are very, very brave.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that own this station are extremely courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just amazing. And so, you know, thank God for people like that. Because if it wasn't for people like that, you know, we'd all be doomed.
Well, I think the other thing is educating the public.
Yes.
Because as more and more public become educated, they will demand a different type of health care.
Exactly.
You know, but so many of the public, they're hit with, you know, a diagnosis, and then they're made to feel, well, it's you have to make a quick decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you know, you'll die. And so they make the decision that the physician offers them.
All right, and they scare them.
Right.
You know,
right.
I lost a friend like that. She had malignant melanoma, and she had 40 of them. And now she was pretty healthy, but she was a chain smoker and
mm-hmm.
always had been. And I told her about the Rife Clinic in Utah, and they didn't go there. And they said the reason they didn't is because the chemo doctor scared them.
Oh.
So she took chemo. She was in horrible, horrible pain. And I could feel this woman from at least a mile off when I was running around town doing my nursing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel her. I could feel that pain. It was like a hot porcupine. And so I went over there one day and said, listen, I can feel that you're in a lot of pain. Let me help you. And so I took her through a meditation. And I made her promise me before I took her in the meditation
mm-hmm.
that she would not leave the body and that she would come back.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, oh, yeah. And I said, no, I want to hear the words from you because your husband is going to end my life if you don't come back. And he meant it, too, you know. And he told me later after she was gone for a while, he said, you know, he said, if she hadn't come back right then, he said, I would have killed you.
Mm.
Literally. And I said, I know that. But, you know, then he finally told her to go because he saw how much pain she was in. But that
yeah.
was all, you know, the chemo didn't help. It just made it worse.
Right, right.
And then I had a friend of mine whose husband came in one day and said, oh, you know, the diet's really working. I said, what? He wasn't a guy that needed to lose any weight. He said, oh, yeah, I lost 10 pounds, but I can't stand the smell of my wife's cooking. And I said, huh? That sounded a little weird. I said, are you able to eat? He says, oh, yeah, but he said, I can't stand the smells when she's cooking. And I kind of puzzled about that. But this is a guy who, his doctor had put him on methotrexate, which is chemotherapy for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the first forms of chemotherapy that we had, so it's considered mild now. But they put him on methotrexate for like 8 years for arthritis. And they said they had rheumatoid arthritis, and so that was the treatment, kill the fastest growing cells, you know. So they had him on that, and then he wanted to get off of that. So his doctor said, okay, you know, it doesn't seem like your arthritis is too bad. So he took him off the methotrexate. Within 1 month, he started having these symptoms. Well, when he came to see me, I said, I'm going to tell you something that you can tell me I'm crazy. The doctors can tell you that I'm crazy. I don't care. I don't care what people think about me. I said, here's the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is you have something that's really serious and you've got very little time to deal with it. Best case scenario is they say I'm crazy and they send you home. But you need to go in and you need to get this and this and this and this and this. And he called me up. He said, well, they said that they can do the ultrasound for me in 3 months. I said, not acceptable.
Mm-mm.
I said, you go in there and tell them you got problems right now. And so I sent him to the ER. And sure enough, you know, they did the ultrasound and he said, well, it's not hepatitis C. And I said, oh, no. He ended up with stage 4 malignant melanoma in the liver.
Oh.
Very, very bad. He died 7 months later. Now,
yeah.
we did give him 7 months, with the natural stuff.
Right.
But this stuff had gone so far because of the chemotherapy. And what had happened was he had had a skin cancer on his nose, and he had it for 2 years. And he kept going into the HMO and saying, you know, I want this taken off. And they would not give him a referral to a dermatologist.
Oh.
So after 2 years of this, he finally goes and pays for it out of his own pocket. So he gets it cut off, and he thinks everything's fine. Well, the methotrexate kind of kept it down. The minute that he came off of the methotrexate, though, that was it. It went crazy. Mm-hmm. Went throughout his body.
Oh.
So this poor guy, you know, he just was in a horrible way. And at that point, his liver was so far gone. And, you know, you have to have at least two cells together
mm-hmm.
who are going to reproduce in order to back a lot of this stuff off, unless you have a miracle. So, you know, you never know what's going to work with someone. And I had asked him, too. I said, let me just ask you something without worrying about your wife or your family. I said, do you really want to live? And he looked at me, and he said, I'd rather not answer that. I said, right, I get it. And he said, well, I want to be here for my wife. I love her so much, and I don't want to leave her. And I said, well, I think what you need to do is call your family in, you know, and take care of all of your stuff. And he came to me, actually the day before he came to see me, and we found all this stuff out, I saw him in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going off to fight a battle. I'm going uphill. And he's putting stuff on. I said, wow, do you want me to go with you and help you? He said, no. He said, I need to do this by myself. And but he said, I'm going off there. I said, well, you let me know if you need me. And he said, okay. And that was it. And so I was speaking at his eulogy, and I said, you know, I don't normally dream about other women's husbands. So this was kind of unusual. And the truth of the matter was he really didn't want to be here. He loved his wife, and the only reason that he would have stayed was for her.
Mm-hmm.
But he had just gotten so tired of life.
Yeah.
And so tired of all the struggle. And this is a healthy guy. He was out playing baseball,
mm-hmm.
you know, from like, you know, 6 in the morning until 6 at night. He was out on the baseball field.
Mm.
And he was in his 60s. I think he was 68 or something when he died. And just a heck of a nice guy.
Right.
But it was like the whole situation of the world was too much for him. And so he really wanted out.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
I think in some ways, but in other ways, you know, my philosophy is you fight it.
Yeah, that's my philosophy, too. You know, and so I tell him, kick butt, take names.
Right, right.
And life is not for wimps.
Right.
But, you know,
but, you know, the world is in a terrible shape with, you know, just looking at the food supply.
Yeah.
You know, with the mercury and with the toxins from the farm-grown stuff and the genetically engineered food, which we're not told what is and what isn't and all the mm-hmm. bad research on that.
Yep.
You know, and then the contaminated, what was it, spinach and lettuce and things this year. And
oh, yeah, and the toothpaste from China and the pet food. And
then the mad cow disease, and I mean, you can go on and on about just the food supply.
Yeah.
And then the environment, the air, I mean, the water.
Oh, I know. But see, that's all part of the plan. And when you know that, when you realize it's all a game,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know that, and, you know, I can tell you honestly that of the 4 times that I had conscious recollection when I was near death, I saw the whole picture. I saw how bad it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to come back because it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that nothing can really happen to your spirit, but, you know, when you're here in the body, it's awful damn real.
Right.
And so, you know, we have to deal with this because it is the game.
But I think what is sad is those people who do not have faith in a higher source,
mm-hmm.
in what I call God.
Yes.
I mean, I think that if I didn't have God and have faith, then I would feel like you're 68-year-old. I don't want to face it anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
I think because you have
sad.
The faith, yeah. And, see, that's one of the things that's so important, and I know most of my listeners do have that faith in the divine source,
mm-hmm.
And I know that you say that God helps you to stay healthy and independent.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for you? What do you do?
Well, I meditate every day. To me, the way that I have attuned myself to God is to develop my faith, develop my patience, to try to be of service to others, because I think that's an important attribute and an honor to God.
Absolutely.
I pray every day. I meditate. If I have people that I have problems with, I pray for them. And so this is the way I kind of attune myself, and I feel that God then speaks to me through my dream, through intuition, through friends. When I had lung cancer, I had a dream that told me to go for the chest X-ray. That's why I went in the first place. I didn't have any symptoms,
mm-hmm.
but I had a dream. When I injured my back, I had gone through the medical and through the physical therapy, and I still had back pain. And the physical therapist tells me, well, it's arthritis. You'll have that the rest of your life. I said, but I didn't have pain 6 months ago. I don't expect to have the pain now. She said, well, things change. I said, well, not for me. I can't accept, and I won't take pain. So then three people told me, go to a chiropractor. Well, mm-hmm. I had never been to a chiropractor before. But then Charles Thomas Casey not only said, go to a chiropractor, he said, here's the one to go to. So I went, and I no longer have pain. I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's
so
certain
I feel
things
like,
you have to take care of, and so when you get the hint, you should do it.
Right, and I feel like God, you know, brings these people in front of me, or brings me the dream or whatever, and, you know, that's how I feel God speaks to me.
You know, I have the same kind of thing. Sometimes it comes in a dream. Sometimes it's just a thought that comes floating through.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's that the opportunity presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, I've got my ears kind of pricked up, you know, for all this kind of stuff all the time. And when you start observing what you're doing in life, it changes your life.
Right.
You know, you no longer have the reactivity button. You know, people do nasty things to you, and you just kind of go, wow, I see why they're doing that.
Right.
And may have nothing to do with you, but you see why they're doing it, and then you go, okay, taking a step back from that person.
<You
know? laughs> I'll love them from afar. You know? And you just send them the love, and you pray for their souls and for their lessons, and you get yourself out of the situation. You know, remove yourself from the toxic situations.
Right.
But I can't tell you how many times I have been saved. I've had direct divine intervention
mm-hmm.
more times than I can count. And so many times that, you know, I've just had this hint to go and check something out, and I go check it. But then I also do the thing where every couple of years I'll go do the full scan, you know,
mm-hmm.
and have, you know, those little mobiles that come around, and
mm-hmm.
they'll check your artery pressure, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just your blood pressure. And they'll check, you know, your chemistry and all this kind of stuff. And I go and I get the full workup just like, you know, Joe Blow down the street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I do that just to make sure that I'm not deluding myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of us have a great capacity for rationalization.
Right, right.
And, I mean, I know I'm pretty healthy and I eat pretty well most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do cleansing and fasting and all this other kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff and all the practices that you talk about in your book,
mm-hmm.
except I'm not exercising a lot. But like I say, you know, my long-distance weight training really takes up a lot of time.
Right, right, right. I know. I went through it 6 years ago, and I'd hoped I'd never do that again, but it looks like I'm going to have to because I'm by the Chesapeake, and we're flooding more and more, you know, after Hurricane Isabel.
Yeah.
And then last year, we had three just nor'easters. And the first one was halfway up my yard. The second one was 3 feet from my house. And the third one was up to my house.
Oh.
And so I feel like eventually I'm going to have to move out of this house and away from the water.
Well, start having your garage sales now.
Oh, this is time to do it, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I have been moving since last October.
Wow.
I moved out of my house because I put the house up for sale, and so I had to move into a little condo. And I have a lot of stuff because
mm-hmm.
I'm a fascinating person, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so I have all these different things, you know. The books alone would take up a house,
right? Right.
And you know all these hobbies and things that I like to do, so I was moving that stuff. Then I moved my office twice,
mm-hmm.
and then the third time I moved my office into storage.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm gearing up to go traveling around the country. I'm going to be speaking in New York and doing some quantum vortex parties
on
the way there and the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out something in the last 2 years with doing some quantum-type research I'm into the application, not into the math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I take the discoveries that other people have made, and it all clicks together in my mind, and I just somehow understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been able to help people to have some miraculous healings because of that. And we can open up vortexes, you know, right in somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we can close it down when we leave. And so there's all these things that we're going to be discovering in the next couple of years
mm-hmm.
that are just going to just blow people's minds about the things that we didn't know about our universe
mm-hmm.
and how healing occurs, for instance. And you know, no one has ever healed alone. So
right.
if I heal me, I'm automatically healing everybody that has the same problem that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be healed to a different degree depending on how much they love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these things that go on that we are in contact with constantly. You know, we're not in a void here. We're busy. Busy little beings.
Right, right.
So I'm just, you know, looking at all the things that happen and telling people, listen, there's certain rules for how you go through life. And there are rules for your health. There are rules for your wealth, for your enjoyment. I mean, for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And once you figure out those rules, then life becomes easier. And I look at your book that way. It's a bunch of rules. You know, you've got the rules, the basics of how someone can play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a valuable thing. And I know that we have quite a few listeners that are bedbound or housebound, you know, for one reason or another. And which is why they listen to this show. They're looking for the newest, bestest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you have to go back to basics and go, okay, it's really great if you can walk into a quantum vortex or be taken up by aliens and be healed instantaneously. But if that doesn't happen, what are you going to do in the meantime?
Right.
So, you know, the Capricorn part of me is very practical.
Right, right. But isn't it sad that people wait till they are ill?
Yes.
To think about health?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you should be getting, your listeners should be the 30, 40, 50-year-olds that are in good health mm-hmm. that want to improve it.
Yes.
And to maintain that
like
good
that.
Health. Pardon?
I get patients like that come in, like I'll have somebody that comes in and says, well, you know, I'm already in really good health.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them and I go, well, how'd you like to be in the most incredible health you ever saw?
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of go, wow, I never thought about that. And I'm like, can you heal a really deep cut down to the bone in less than 24 hours? And they're going, no. I said, would you like to? I can teach you how to do that. I've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, if you break a bone, you can snap it right back in yourself and heal it up so that it doesn't even show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do, but you got to start somewhere. You have to have a canvas that's conducive to accepting that.
Right, right.
You know, and if you have a poor environment, you know, you can't do this eating Twinkies and Diet Pop and things like that unless you are at that quantum phase where you can eat and drink poison and transmute it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know too many people that can do that. I do know a few.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know too many that can do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, the rest of us are just going to have to follow these rules.
Right. So you think then there'll be a lot of new things coming out in the next 2 years that are
oh, yeah.
going to change.
Yeah, it is really, really incredible. And it's coming from what has been called garage entrepreneurs. You know, people that are just fooling around. They have a few ideas. They keep up to date on quantum physics, quantum mechanics, plasma physics. They keep up to date on ancient history. It sounds funny saying up to date on ancient history, but
mm-hmm.
But they do. They're looking at all the new discoveries, and they have the kind of brain that is allowing them to put the pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just keep your eyes and ears open, people, because the next couple of years is going to be an explosion in consciousness, and with that explosion in consciousness, we will have a new world. And it's just going to be incredible. And so now is the time when we have to be doing all these other things, you know, take care of yourself, you know, and that means, you know, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. They all have to go together. And just, you know, keep open and move away from the old way of being, you know, the judgment, the prejudice, the greed, you know, move away from that and move into the new possibilities and move into unconditional love, peace, and harmony. And, you know, you have to have it within yourself first. So, you know, the things that you've got in your book, Carl,
mm-hmm.
are things that people can do to help them to move into that space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're in pain, it's hard to move into that space.
Right, right.
If you're suffering with some kind of disease that reminds you constantly of your mortal status, it's very difficult to move into the unconditional love.
Or if you harbor hate and
mm-hmm.
fear and all of these things that,
yep.
you know, society seems to be trying to push on people.
Oh, yeah.
It's also hard to, you know, move in that direction.
Absolutely.
Because it's hard to develop faith when you're fearful.
Exactly. You have to get rid of the fear.
There seems to be the opposite ends of the continuum.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of people don't have the opportunities that some of us have had. You know, I've done shamanic training and you know, really got rid
mm-hmm.
of the fear a long time ago and
mm-hmm.
dealt with the ego and all of those kinds of things. And, you know, too many people have never had that opportunity or they've
right.
passed it by.
Right.
And now comes the critical time when you need to be out of fear in order to make the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heartily recommend your book. So why don't you give the listeners the information on how to get your book and how to contact you and
okay.
all that.
My book is available on my website, which is www.healthyholisticaging.com. It's also available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, all of the major bookstores. You can reach me at Carl Helvie, CARLHELVIE, at Cox, COX.net.
Excellent.
Also, let me mention, I do have a monthly free newsletter that I update information if there's new herbs that come out or new information on herbs. I had an article recently on kombucha tea, which has been around for a few years, but I had just come across it, so I had something on kombucha tea. I had something on space tea, alien tea.
Oh, cool.
Different things that I come across that I think kind of updates information in the book, or if I come across a political group, a new advocacy group that has come out that relates to health, I usually identify that. So if people are interested in the free email newsletter, they can go to my website and sign up for it also.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, we are out of time, so thank you so much, Carl. It's been wonderful having you on the show.
Well, I've enjoyed it, Dr. Valeria, and I wish you well in your travels. And,
oh, thank you.
And I'm glad that your distant exercise is about over for now, right?
It's got to be over quick. Can't take much more.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you very much.
Time. Well, yeah, thank you so much for being on the show, listeners. I hope that you have enjoyed it. We've been talking with Dr. Carl Helvie about his new book, The Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. And, guys, if you didn't get all that information, just drop me an email, and I will send the information to you. So thank you, Carl, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And, as always, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each.